you from Gunai Kurnai Lands, we wish to pay our respect to Elders past, present, future and emerging. This is the Theories of Hope podcast. Please be advised that some subject matters may be upsetting for some listeners and discretion is advised. Nor is this podcast a substitute for professional advice and is intended as general information only. Today with me is Graham O'Connor, who is the Project and Partnerships Lead for the WES, the Wellbeing and Emotional Support Mental Health Cafe in Morwell, Victoria, which you may have heard of. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, Beck.
Hey. Graham, can you firstly, I guess, tell us a little bit about yourself and how the WES came about?
I have been volunteering for Lifeline for quite a few years now, and I've worked on and off for them in a variety of roles. Previous to being the project and partnerships lead for the Mental Health Cafe project, I was working in primary schools in wellbeing while I was studying, doing a psych degree, which I am sort of finished now, but doing honours this year. Now, what was the second part of the question?
I'm just thinking that's hard work. You're working and doing honours at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Crikey, good on you. How did the WES come about?
So the WES has been a project that has been a long time in the making. It was originated from an idea about 4 years ago that was based on the Safe Haven Cafe model. Mm-hmm. Safe Haven Cafe originated in England. It was a mental health drop-in cafe space. In Australia, the first Safe Haven was established at St. Vinny's in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And it was quite successful. That was within the hospital itself. That idea was talked about within the Latrobe community, and the Latrobe Health Assembly decided to explore whether we could do that in the Latrobe Valley and what it would look like. And they used their resources to explore that idea. They employed a group called the LADA Group to do surveys and hold community consultations. And as a result, they sort of interacted with, you know, must be over 100 sort of different people, you know, including sort of other organisations that are involved in the space. And as a result of that, a report was made that sort of gave us guidelines of what the mental health cafe could look like in this space. And it was put out to tender, and Lifeline Gippsland was privileged to get the tender to make it happen.
And was there anything specific about this project that attracted you to apply for the role as project lead?
I sort of, from my experience with Lifeline on the phones, I had often wished that there was a space like we have built that I could direct people to. Some people, you know, they're feeling overwhelmed. They may have friends and family, but the friends and family sort of don't know how to help them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people often don't want to share with friends and family how they're truly feeling. Some people end up in emergency departments because they don't feel safe just being by themselves. Not all those people that present to emergency departments or are sitting at home feeling overwhelmed, not all of those people need anything but someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. And a safe place to be. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're offering.
And I think that's fantastic. As listeners will know, I've spoken before about my own mental health struggles. Mm-hmm. And that's a really important part, because even when you're a long way along the journey and thoroughly into recovery by any stretch of the imagination, I know all of my therapists have said you're good to go, you don't need regular therapy, there will still be times when something happens
and you don't necessarily want to burden your family.
No, that's right.
You know, and having somewhere to just go and talk to,
mm-hmm.
to vent, is hugely powerful.
Yeah, definitely.
Or just someone to stop you ruminating,
mm-hmm.
or to just stop you freaking out, in my case. Mm, that's wonderful. So is there any specific needs that it addresses here in the local community?
I think, like, for, you know, the mental health of our community in general, it's not the whole answer, but I think it's an important piece in the puzzle to help have, you know, better well-being and emotional support throughout the valley. We like communities all over Australia have our struggles,
mm-hmm.
and the WES is going to fill a particular niche for people, both when they're feeling overwhelmed, or when they just are feeling sort of desperately alone, or when it could also be a preventative measure when they sort of feel like they might be going down a bit of a dark hole, they might come to us before that happens.
Fantastic.
So it'll fill a couple of roles, I think.
And what is it about the WES specifically that you think, I guess, sets it apart? Because the Latrobe Valley is it's a unique area. It's rural. It's away from the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's got its own specific culture,
mm-hmm.
and expectations. So what is it about the WES that makes it different, I suppose, to other models of mental health cafes?
The WES is unique, I believe, in that it has been totally driven by feedback on what the community wants. And most of that community has been people with lived experience. As part of my role when I first began, it was understanding what safe haven models of the cafe look like. New South Wales really embraced the model after the St. Vinny's sort of experiment. And New South Wales now have 19, I believe, safe haven cafes throughout the state. And part of my job was calling them and sort of picking their brains and, you know, asking, what their experience is like running the cafes. Most of them were just based, actually all of them are based on the safe haven model, whereas we've sort of designed the cafe from the ground up with feedback from lived experience people. And so ours looks a lot different than a lot of the other ones in its design. And a little bit of the philosophy is probably a little bit different as well.
I like that idea because not only is it based on lived experience, but it's based on local lived experience
local
as well.
Lived experience.
Which
yep.
means it's completely tailored to the needs of the local community.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And what the community is experiencing.
Mm, exactly.
Which, will that lived experience continue to filter throughout the experience of the WES? Because sometimes different things happen in the valley, things change, cultures change, different things happen. We often have environmental disasters out here. Will the WES respond in kind?
I think the WES will evolve, and that does seem to be one of the things about the safe haven model, is that the ones that I spoke to, you know, they had different opening hours. Their main sort of demographic of visitors, you know, sort of was slightly different throughout, you know, the different centres. So they evolved as well. So I think we will also evolve, but we do want to keep at our core what we're here for, and we're here to offer well-being and emotional support when people need it. So that's why our hours are 75% out of business, normal business hours.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure we maintain that. But we are certainly open to evolving to meet the needs of the community, whatever those needs may be.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but we want to make sure that throughout the the first year or so that we keep to our main goal. Mm.
And what kind of success stories have you heard from other mental health cafes throughout Australia, the world?
It's sort of interesting. You know, I touched on, there was one in Birmingham in England that that opened and was incredibly successful, but it nearly became too successful because it sort of became like a little, like more like a community house where there was lots of programs running, and it, you know, it became the centre of that community.
Mm-hmm.
But as a result, it actually wasn't catering for the people who it originally was designed for.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure. But they worked that out. They realised what was happening, and they actually closed their doors and reopened in a different way, and the space that they were using did become a community house. So all those programs continued, but they moved somewhere else and went back to their core values.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout New South Wales, for instance, the ones that I've spoken to, they all have lots of success stories. So
mm-hmm.
every one of them that I spoke to could just reel off, you know, there was this person that came in and, you know, is now, you know, working somewhere, and, you know, they come in and drop their head in every now and then to say hello. But there's lots of success stories, and we're starting to see it here even, just in the short time we've been open, that people are feeling really grateful and starting to, just through being able to tell their story and through having a little bit of support, they are feeling a lot better, you know, within themselves. And as a result of feeling better, they're starting to either make some changes in their lives or do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of get back on track.
Mm.
What's it been like so far in the early opening weeks? Are you seeing any trends at all of certain demographics or cohorts coming through? Like, is there a specific need that's coming through, or?
No, not as yet. I think it's sort of too early to sort of identify anything specific. You know, at the moment we've sort of seen, we've had over 30 visitors today. Today being end of March.
Yep.
So just to sort of put a date on that. So it's really early days yet. And we really haven't started advertising yet. We've got an official launch coming up, which, you know, we will make everyone aware of. And we really start sort of hitting the pavement,
mm-hmm.
and spreading our brochures around and, spreading the word on social media.
And how's it being received by other mental health and community service organisations? What's the feedback so far that you're getting from them?
Everybody I've spoken to in different organisations, once they understand what the WES is,
mm-hmm.
and what the name stands for,
mm-hmm.
They are all very excited to work with us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it doesn't matter what the organisation is. We've had lots of meetings with a variety of different stakeholders in the
mm-hmm.
Latrobe Valley and in this space, and yeah, they're all very excited to start using us,
mm-hmm.
and working with us,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we can sort of work together as a team to try and make some change.
And you said that it was designed with, you know, community members and lived experience representatives,
mm-hmm.
from the ground up. What was it like to work with the lived experience representatives and the community members?
It was and it is awesome. So my first role, I started in October of 2022. My first role, besides taking the keys to an empty building, was to put together a lived experience advisory group. So the lived experience advisory group is called the LEAG. I used the information from the LATA document,
mm-hmm.
and started ringing people and identifying people who may want to be involved, and good people such as yourself,
mm-hmm.
and quite a few others put their hand up and volunteered and thought, yep, we want to be a part of this. And as a result, you know, all the decisions that have been made, from the general colour scheme to the design of the place and you know, the hours and, you know, just the way our philosophy has all been driven by the LEAG.
I have to say, as I'm hijacking the conversation for a minute, but, you know, as someone I have been on, over 20 years, I've been on so many advisory panels and boards and different things, and this has probably been one of the most enriching engagements I think I've ever had in 20 years, genuinely. Like, I've loved it. But it's also been incredibly, it's been wonderfully refreshing, and to be blunt, it's been very faith restoring, actually. I've actually really, really enjoyed observing the way yourself and Michelle, apart from the way you and Michelle conduct yourselves professionally, which I enjoy watching because I learn and glimmer little things, especially if it's, I don't know, just a random conversation and I can tell that it's difficult or nuanced or something, just seeing the way you handle that, I enjoy it. Sometimes as someone with lived experience, we're put on boards and it's very tokenistic, and it's also done significant disregard to our well-being. There's no consideration for our well-being, and there can be a significant degree of patronisation and condescension, and it can be very, very uncomfortable sometimes. I have not encountered that at all. It's been incredibly, incredibly enriching and faith-restoring, to the point that it was actually one of the reasons that I decided, because I'd undernarred for a while about starting my own business, but I always worried because of the stress and the mental health component of that. And ironically, it was reading the advertisement that you put out for your lived experience workers, and inferring from that, I could tell so much about the culture of the way that, like, that was the best, hands down, the best job placement advertisement I think I've ever read. I was able to infer from that a lot about the culture, that you obviously take mental health generally very well, and that you actually care for that on a day-to-day basis. And it was just restoring to go, no, if somebody else can do it, does that make sense? If somebody else could, it can be done.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And obviously I'm doing it and it's just myself with my little thing, but yeah, it was actually has been significantly faith restoring. It's nice to see people show up and somehow still have the energy for that level of integrity.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I think it comes from the top down. It's like you mentioned Michelle. Firstly, we were well supported by the La Trobe Health Assembly. You know, they're the funding body, and they, they chose Lifeline Gippsland to deliver the project, and we're well supported there. But then Michelle Possingham, who's a Lifeline Gippsland CEO, she is an incredibly hard worker and so passionate about the mental health and well-being of our community. She has sort of boundless energy and is always working hard for us, really.
Yeah.
And so she's pretty incredible. And that's when I say it comes from the top down. Lifeline Gippsland does a number of things throughout the community. We do mental health training. We've got our Up Shops, which is, which mostly funds us.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we've got our call centres where we answer the phones. And everyone that volunteers for Lifeline, whether it's in an op shop or whether it's on the phones or doing training, works in the warehouse, they're all got a passion for both Lifeline and what it stands for and for our community. So I think I'm glad that you've sort of you're sort of picking up the vibe, and it's a nice thing to be a part of.
It is, and it does. It comes across very, very strongly, and I truly am. It's been a pleasure, and I'm quite inspired by it. And that's one thing I'm looking forward to, is the end result of all of this, because I half imagine that in years to come, be using this engagement almost as the benchmark for, this is how you engage with lived experience reps in a healthy and constructive way.
Yeah.
So I'm incredibly, it sounds corny, but I'm incredibly proud of this project and of Lifeline. It's just amazing to think that there's a community service organisation like that in this community. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It really is. So what's your hope for the WES moving forward?
Well, when we were looking for a name for the WES, part of that process, it was, which you were involved in, Beck, was it was incredibly difficult to come up with a name. We decided early on that we didn't want to call it a space or a hub or a centre. It wanted to be something different, and then every name we thought of, you know, every conceivable name that we came up with seemed to be taken. Then, you know, in a meeting we decided, you know, what we stood for was wellbeing and emotional support, and from that came WES, and then came the WES. What I'm hoping for the future is that the WES becomes a part of our local vernacular. If someone's feeling a bit off, you know, you identify a friend, family member, or just an acquaintance, you know, that you might be a bit concerned about, tell them, hey, have you checked out the WES? You should head on down there, have a chat to someone. So I'm hoping the WES will become an integral part of our vernacular and our community. Mm-hmm. And in the future, besides staying to our core mission of looking after people that might be sort of feeling a bit overwhelmed or struggling, we also would like to, you know, use the space in other ways. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll, you know, be able to float a few ideas that, you know, and create a few community groups. We're also already talking about a Friends of the WES group. Mm-hmm. That might meet regularly and do some activities, and you know, we might be able to make the space available to some community groups who mm-hmm. may not have a regular home.
Yep.
That could meet out of the normal hours that we're open and use the space. So mm-hmm. we're aiming to be around for a long time.
Do you think there'll be the opportunity that from some of the data, for lack of a better word, the trends that we see coming through, we'll be able to make recommendations for other programs in the community? I know one of the things that I'm curious to see, we don't have a lot of mental health or emotional support for men in the mm-hmm. Latrobe Valley.
Yep.
So I'm really glad that the WES exists, because it's gender neutral.
Definitely.
I love that. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter how you identify, it's gender neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hopeful that might encourage some more gender diverse support services
mm-hmm.
Out there for men and members of the LGBTQIA community.
Yeah.
Do you think that's possible?
I think anything's possible. I think, you know, as far as data is concerned, we don't collect data on people. You know, really all we ask is, we ask for your first name and your postcode.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to give it to us, that's fine as well.
Mm.
We're still happy to, you know, have a chat and make you feel welcome. And
enjoy the coffee.
And
it's
enjoy
good coffee.
The coffee. It's good coffee. And and two, I want to make sure everybody knows that the place, you can use the place as you choose.
Mm.
So if someone just wants to come in and just chill in a corner but feel safe that they're not alone, we're happy for them to do that. If they want to have a chat with one of our lived experience peer support workers, that's great. We have a mental health clinician. They can chat to that person as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they might want to do some activities with someone or something like that, a bit of mindful colouring or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got all that. So I think we're trying to be there for all people.
Mm-hmm.
All genders,
mm-hmm.
And I think that, well, my hope is that if we just can normalise the WES as a place to go for all people when they're feeling, you know, like they might need to have a chat, or they might need to be in a space that's safe,
mm-hmm.
I think that could potentially make a difference to how people look at offering services to other people. I think it was made really clear in the data that the lived experience people that responded to the questionnaires and the mm-hmm. surveys and did workshops, that was made really clear that they wanted a space that was welcoming,
mm-hmm.
non-clinical,
mm-hmm.
opened, you know, in hours that aren't just normal business hours, because we know that mental health isn't a 9-to-5 deal.
No.
So that's what we've tried to deliver. And, you know, that's whatever your gender, whatever your, you know, cultural background,
yep.
you know, we're trying to be there for everyone.
Exactly. Mm. And I think that's the key there. I like the word overwhelmed, because that's the key for the WES. It's, are you feeling overwhelmed?
Mm.
You know, you don't have to be having a crisis.
No.
It's, are you feeling overwhelmed?
Yeah.
You know, it's that preventative space, that well-being, that emotional support.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get here and we identify you need extra support, then a referral can be made.
That's right. We'll help you in any way we can.
Exactly. But if it's just, you really just need to vent and just need someone to talk to, or you just need to share the space with someone, or play a game, or you just need to get out your house and sit quietly, you can do that as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Which is what is so fantastic about this. It's that universal.
That's our approach. It's not for one particular group or demographic. It's for everyone.
Exactly. So last but not least, because I don't want to keep you forever, because I know you're a busy man, if you had any piece of advice for someone that was feeling overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
What advice would you give them?
I think it's okay to reach out and not feel that you're alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of incredibly caring people out there that are willing to lend you an ear and help you to feel less overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe to sort of help you on your journey. So my advice would be, you know, use us. If you need to talk to someone and you don't feel you've got anyone to talk to, call Lifeline, you know.
Mm.
Or there's other call centres that you can call as well. But, you know, I've been on the phones for Lifeline for many years. And, you know, a lot of people just feel better after having a chat, you know. Everyone's crisis is different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what might be a crisis for one person may not necessarily be a crisis for another, but that
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter at Lifeline, you know, so you can ring, have a chat. If you're local to us, come to the WES.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can come here, you can have a coffee or a cup of tea or a chai, you know,
mm-hmm.
or a glass of water, doesn't matter. And, you know, if you want to have a chat, we'll have a chat.
Yeah.
If you don't want to have a chat, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got lots of nice comfy chairs that you can just chill in
and
watch the world go by and not feel like anyone's watching you. Reach out, use these services that are around, and, you know, maybe by coming through to us, you know, if we, you know, we can help you in the moment and we might be able to identify other
mm-hmm.
Places that might be able to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward.
The key is you don't have to do it alone.
You don't have to do it alone.
And it's a safe space. You can be safe and not alone.
Yep.
And that's a big deal when you're just feeling really fragile.
Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Been lovely, Beck. Thanks for chatting.
Thank you.
That was Graham O'Connor, Project Lead for the WES, Wellbeing and Emotional Support Cafe in Morwell, Victoria. You've been listening to Theories of Hope, an Empowered Healthcare Network podcast. I'm your host, Beck Howlett, and I look forward to speaking to you again next week.